I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. At John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is always a joy to talk to our guy, John Heyman. John!
Morning, John.
How are you
How
this
you
morning?
How you guys doing?
Oh, are you kidding?
That's great.
We are just loving this wait for free agency. It's been fantastic.
It's been so
I've
much
gotten
fun.
So much done. I'll just keep cleaning the house until something happens.
It's amazing. Well, you know what? If we recall last year, J.D. Martinez signed or agreed in the middle of February. Didn't get done till late February because they had some issue with his medical. And Jake Arrieta, I believe it was March 12th that he signed.
Jeez,
so
come on,
maybe we should get used to this.
Yeah, and I think Yu Darvish was later this week. We're nearing
right?
the one-year
yep.
anniversary. We're going to have a special on that one. The
yep,
Yu Darvish
I think
signing.
They were all pretty late.
So
it seems to be the trend at this point. So, I mean, it used to happen occasionally. Scherzer was kind of around January 21st, something like that. But the last 2 years, it's getting a little odd. I mean, we got a kind of a soft deadline of the report date for spring training, so I think we're going to see some signings. Does that mean we're going to see the two big signings? I wouldn't guarantee it. They certainly had their expectations, and at this point, they're probably neither one is meeting them, and certainly not Machado the way his thing is going.
So, John, you've been on top of this. You said that Manny Machado's not happy with the offers. We've only heard of one, you know, reported offer, and that's the White Sox. How much should the Sox fans fear the Yankees getting back involved? And you also mentioned eight teams interested in Bryce Harper now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think there are a lot of teams that are checking in on Harper, and some of them are going to be short-term interest. Those are very, very unlikely. So, I mean, I know we've got probably four teams that we know are serious with Harper, three teams with Machado. As far as the White Sox go, their competition is Philly, which appears to prefer Harper. And San Diego, which is obviously a pretty small revenue club, so they've got to feel like they've got a chance. I think there is hope there. I don't say there's any guarantee or any likelihood. They've obviously gone out and signed Manny's brother-in-law, his best friend. They're trying to set the stage to get this done, and they are hoping. And I'm not going to rule it out. You know, it's a limited field at this point that we know about.
You know, it's interesting, John, because I think when we look at this, we obviously look at it through the prism of the Sox and the Cubs. And, you know, the Cubs, they're not in on anyone. They're not going to have the money. They're not spending the money. And then you keep hearing, if there's eight teams, are they one of the eight? If they had a choice, wouldn't they want Machado over Harper? Wouldn't that help them more? They're just out?
I mean, you would think so, but the positional need isn't necessarily going to be the driving force when we're talking about a $200 million or $300 million deal. It's going to be what they think of that player, because that's really what counts. So the White Sox, I do think that they have a greater positional need at third base than the outfield going forward. Obviously, their outfield this year is not going to be spectacular, but they have a lot of great prospects who play the outfield. So there could be something to that. But I think with the Cubs, my belief with the Cubs is they don't really have an interest in Manny Machado. I'm not sensing that they do. I could be proven wrong, but I do think that they like Bryce Harper, and if they had the money, they would be players in this. And I would not be shocked if they're one of the eight teams checking in. Theo leaves no stone unturned. You never know what he might end up doing. It does appear from all evidence that they're not going to do it unless they can clear payroll space, and I think it's very unlikely to clear that payroll space that they need, and that would probably be Hayward. Obviously, Yu Darvish is not tradable at this point, and they're hoping that, you know, he is a big part of the rotation this year. Zobrist could be tradable. That's not clearing that kind of space, though, so it would have to be Hayward, and my belief is he has a full no trade, and he's not going to be, certainly that whole contract is not going to be tradable, and to me, they're a major, major long shot. But if they come up with one of the two, and again, we're talking, I don't know if it's 100-1, but it's a major long shot, it would be Harper, because I don't think they're interested in Machado.
John, we haven't talked to you since Jim Crane, Astros owner, talked about the death of the 10-year contract and how teams are going to be more reluctant than ever because of analytics, because of budgets, because of a lot of reasons to go that far into a contract and that deep into their pool of money to say we're going to commit $300 million, $250 million. How much is that affecting what's going on right now, and how much what kind of response did that get around the league when he said that?
Yeah, I think teams are definitely more cautious now. The GMs are, I don't want to say cut from the same cloth, but there are a lot of young, highly educated GMs. We don't have those emotional buy-type owners. Obviously, George Steinbrenner, his son, is not like that at all. Hal, who's running that team, Mike Ilitch also passed away in Detroit. We don't have that kind of an owner, and the GMs are generally left to do their jobs, and they are probably would say cautious for sure. Some might say smart. If you look at the history of the long, long, super long free agent deals, it probably isn't that spectacular. It seems to be half of them work, half of them don't work, and when they don't work, you're stuck for a big bill. I wouldn't say there's a death of a 10-year deal. I will not be shocked if Harper comes up with a 10-year deal here. It doesn't feel like Machado will, but these guys are both only 26 years old. So in extraordinary circumstances, I think we may see 10-year deals. I think when the Angels extend Trout, I think we'll see a 10-year deal. So I wouldn't say it's dead at this point, but most free agents are 29 or older, and I think teams are generally going to stay away from them. I think in extraordinary circumstance, they will do it, and I think Harper has a chance for it, but probably not Machado.
When we look at what's happened here in Chicago, obviously the emails that were leaked with Joe Ricketts has been a big story, and he issued an apology, and the team issued a statement. And Major League Baseball chimed in yesterday with a statement saying that that they're aware of it, and basically there's no place for it in baseball. What happens now? Is it over? Is that the end of it? Is there more to it?
I don't think this is going to have much legs, because I do think the Cubs statement is right from all indications. We never talk about Joe Ricketts, and I don't know how involved he is. They said that he is not really involved, and I mean, it appears to me like Tom Ricketts is the guy running the team. I've never seen or met Joe Ricketts, so I don't know that his involvement. I think that part of the statement is correct. I think they probably underplayed the racist nature of the statements by calling it racially insensitive, but that's also true. So I understand a little spin there, but I think it's probably correct that while it was his money, his company that was enabled them to buy the team, that Tom Ricketts is running the team, and there's no evidence, and I don't even put it that way. Tom Ricketts isn't anything like that. So, it's an interesting story. You'll hear about it time to time in Chicago, but I think nationally that story does not have many legs.
What do the Cubs do, John? I mean, obviously, spring training next week, pitchers and catchers report, and players are going to start trickling in. Almost every one of them will be asked to, their response, and this story will be regurgitated, recycled. And this idea that the Cubs are owned by this patriarch who has these racist, thoughts.
It's obviously not good. And the Cubs players certainly will be asked about early in spring training, and they'll be prepared and make whatever comment they want to make. The story will have more legs if one of the players goes out and rips Joe Ricketts, but I think they'll probably be careful and probably won't do that. I think they'll, I think it has some legs in Chicago, like I said, but it's not going to go on forever. He really is not around the team from what I can tell.
What, John, when we think of the big stories here, obviously the only thing anyone's thinking about is when will this be resolved? Will there be some kind of movement to put a deadline on this stuff? Will there be, you know, in the future, will they talk about trying to change the way teams are doing business, given the fact that they're, I mean, here we are. I mean, it's been going on forever. Normally, in other sports, we have these deadlines where you have to get stuff done, and it's usually pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in a sport-wide sense, there might be some thought to it. I could see Major League Baseball wanting that and the union not wanting it, so that could be a point of contention in the next CBA discussion, and those are going to be fairly contentious at this point. I think the players are pretty unhappy with the way this has turned out, whether they just cut a bad deal or it just isn't a deal that's not working, considering the way the teams are operating. I'm not so sure. You know, as far as now, I don't see that happening. It doesn't probably, I've been checking with teams, is there going to be a deadline, but it seems to be that the teams want these players and they'll take them even if they're late, and they understand there are other teams involved and they don't want to cut off their chances. And I think the players are willing to wait for the deal that they think is appropriate. I mean, as I said, it's a soft deadline, reporting date. I think some lesser players, and I don't mean to be pejorative there, players lesser than Harper and Machado, that's anybody, may feel the need to get to spring training. I don't think they will. And I mean, the bigger deadline, I guess, would be right around opening day. That would be kind of a, and that's also a soft deadline. You know, I think these players had expectations, and understandably so, in the past. These type of players have gotten huge deals, and I could understand why they probably both thought they were as good as Giancarlo Stanton and that they're free agents now, and why they would expect to get more. But it does seem like times have changed, and until the next CBA, the players may have to adjust a little bit.
John, when you see the Padres get involved with Harper and Machado, to what extent did that surprise you, and are they being used in any way?
You know, I don't think they mind. If they're being used, they don't mind it. I'm not going to assume anything. There's very few teams in it. San Diego's a lovely place. I do think A.J. Preller is kind of a gambler, does like the big score. Obviously, we know that when he became GM of the Padres, he went out and got made a trade for Matt Kemp, made some big moves. Obviously, those did not work out. Last year, they signed Eric Hosmer. It's not going to. Obviously, that was huge for them. $60 million more than they ever signed anybody, and that was $83 million for Will Myers. Also, an AJ Preller move. The Padres can afford to do a $30 million deal. The owner Ron Fowler opened his books to the San Diego paper, and you know, it looks like even with their two big deals of Hosmer and Myers, they have an $80 million commitment. They can have a $110 million commitment, so they can afford it, and I'm not ruling them out. My understanding with Harper and my belief, knowing him to some degree over the years, is that he'd want to be in New York, Boston, Chicago, maybe LA. San Diego wasn't first on his list, but you know what? These big free agents often go to surprise teams and teams that aren't contenders at the moment. We know Cano went to Seattle. We know Pujols went to the Angels. You know, maybe to a lesser degree, not that kind of a superstar player, but Jason Worth went to the Nats when they were terrible at that time. Detroit, Magly Ordóñez, Pudge Rodriguez went there when they were abysmal. So, you know, you can be sold on the Padres. They have a lot, like the White Sox, they have a lot of great prospects. San Diego's beautiful. He is from Las Vegas. I'm not going to say that there's no chance for them. And as far as Machado goes, I kind of think, like most free agents, he's going to go for the top deal. And if it's there, he would do that. To me, I'm sensing they may have more interest, I'm not sure, also in Harper. Or maybe Machado just doesn't want to go there because we haven't heard of a meeting. I don't know why he wouldn't take a meeting, but I don't think Machado liked being in L.A. I don't think he liked being 3 hours away and his family seeing the game starting at 10 or 11 o'clock. I don't think he liked that whole idea. So to me, San Diego would not be a choice for Machado if he had anything else that he liked.
John, we'll let you go just on the way out. given the fact that these guys haven't been signed, and given the fact that you got a guy here in Chicago like Eloy Jimenez, who is going to be held down for a couple of few weeks, who knows, because of they want to get time, years of service in. So you're keeping guys in the minors. We saw that with Chris Bryant here. And then you're not going to give them the big contracts when they reach free agency at the back end of it. Does that mean labor strife is inevitable? Will that lead to?
It looks that way. Yeah. At this point, I would say 3 years from now, the CBA ends. The players' side not too happy with the way things have gone, and I'm underplaying that. They're quite upset about it. I think last year was the fourth time in 50 years that player salaries had actually gone down on average. This will probably be the fifth time in 51 years. I mean, everybody, AP or whoever does it, will have to do the accounting on that. But they didn't anticipate this threshold. They didn't think was onerous. The taxes didn't seem onerous. But teams are adhering to it. Only two teams went over the threshold last year, the Red Sox, who obviously won the World Series, and the Nats. The other teams managed to stay under it, and the Yankees and Dodgers have said they stayed under it last year, and we thought they were going to be big players in free agency this year. Because of it, they have been signed some pretty good players, but they haven't been in on the biggest stars. Earlier, obviously, the Yankees were in on Machado, and you mentioned the Yankees and Machado. I think that ship has sailed. I don't see the Yankees with Machado now. They've signed LeMahieu, Torres. You guys are familiar, will be shortstop. So
sure.
That's not happening. But yes, it's looking like labor strife is inevitable.
And it's almost planned to coincide with the White Sox rebuild. I don't know if you noticed that, but it's like the minute they're ready to win, there'll be labor strife.
Well,
also with Chris Bryant's free agency.
It's going to be painful, but it might just be a short break. I mean, hopefully there's no more cancellation of seasons. I think that's a once in a sport history. I don't think that will be repeated. That did not serve MLB very well. So I don't think you're going to miss the championship season there of 2022. So you're okay. Don't worry about that. At least not yet.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
I appreciate it. All right, buddy. All right. Take care.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.